Good morning, everyone. I'm thankful for a group of faithful brothers and sisters that we can come to as we have traveled many miles. A trip that was not in our plans, but God had a different plan. And so we're thankful in the midst of that, that there are brothers and sisters in the Lord that we can find comfort, courage, and strength in as we fellowship with one another and have opportunity to share how God has worked in our hearts and in our lives. This morning, as we look around us, it's been mentioned, it's been referred to this morning several times. We live in a broken, damaged, shattered, crushed world. These words are used to describe the things that are not as they should be. If you were to meet someone in this condition, you would say they are hurting. Someone that's broken, shattered, damaged, or crushed, you would say they're hurting. Sad to say, that's the kind of world we live in a fallen world that is experiencing that. There's hurting people all around us, people that are hurting physically, people that are hurting emotionally, mentally. Some are hurting because of their own choices. Others are hurting because of circumstances that are totally out of their control. But the results of mankind falling into sin is broken, damaged, shattered, and crushed. We're all born with a sin nature. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans 5 verse 12, I'm going to turn to that verse. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." But thank God, we don't need to continue in sin. We have been offered a way of escape. God's desire is that all men would come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Timothy 2. Verses 3 to 4. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." God's desire is that we would all come to the knowledge of truth, that we don't have to live in sin and in bondage. Just because you and I have chosen to forsake sin and the world and walk in obedience to God doesn't mean that we'll never face hardships or suffering or sorrow. In fact, most of us could likely share a story of an experience that we've had that left us emotionally drained and hurting. But the difference that we as followers of God experience is that we have God to walk beside us during these difficult seasons. And we don't need to give up in despair and discouragement. We don't have to remain broken, shattered, damaged, crushed. We can grow stronger because of these trials, as James says in James chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. He says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul greets the brothers and sisters here at Corinth with a greeting that he has used in all 13 of his New Testament letters. And I believe he used this as a sincere greeting to express his love and care to his fellow brothers and sisters. Verses 3 to 7, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." So Paul started out his life by living for himself. By that selfishness, he caused a lot of suffering and pain to those that he was persecuting and trying to destroy. This selfish lifestyle that humanity pursues is one of the sins that causes broken, damaged, shattered, crushed homes, lives, nations, churches, and communities. Pride, selfishness, hatred, jealousy, greed, lust, gluttony. These are all sins that have destroyed many a man and woman and left many more hurting and hopeless, discouraged and despondent. So what is our responsibility as Christians? Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our responsibility as Christians is to be a salt and a light, to bring hope, to bring healing, to bring comfort to those who are hurting. God got a hold of Paul one day when he was on his way to Damascus. to do more persecuting the Christians, to hurt more people. God asked him, "Why do you persecute me?" Paul realized at that point that something was missing in his life. We don't have any record in Acts 9 there that Paul started justifying himself or making excuses for what he was doing, but rather he asked, "Lord, or who art thou, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Paul trembled and astonished said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It didn't seem like it took Paul very long to figure out that he was in a bad place and that he needed something different. The Lord told him to arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. From what is recorded in the Bible, Paul was obedient from that point forward. And he became a committed follower of Christ, preaching that Christ is the Son of God. Very shortly after Paul's conversion, he ran into trouble with the Jews. They wanted to kill him for preaching the gospel, for preaching that Christ is the Son of God. So because Paul chose to be obedient to God, he was now a recipient of the sufferings that came with that. God had said in Acts 9 there, when he was talking to Ananias about Paul, he said, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Paul wasn't exempt of this suffering. In fact, he chose it. In a sense, he chose that suffering for the sake of following after God. What am I willing to forsake, knowing that it would bring suffering into my life? Paul describes some of these sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28, as stripes, prisons, stonings, shipwrecked, perils of water, robbers, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That seems like a lot of suffering. Yet Paul knew that all his sufferings were really the sufferings of Christ. So when he talks about the tribulation, suffering and trouble there in 2 Corinthians 1, he had indeed experienced a lot. Paul understood what suffering was. He understood what it was like to be broken, damaged, shattered, and crushed. It was no longer about himself, but it was for the cause of Christ, and that's what gave Paul strength to remain steadfast in the faith. Recently, I was asked to share at the CAM Search and Rescue Conference, and that's where my thoughts were inspired in this direction. And my title this morning is Preparing to Walk with the Hurting. God also prepared Paul through his sufferings and trials to be able to comfort and encourage those that were hurting. Joseph in the Old Testament went through much hardship and testing, but he also remained strong and steadfast in spite of it all. So I want to consider several things that I believe are essential to being prepared to walk with those that are hurting. You know, in search and rescue, that's what we relate to a lot is individuals who are missing loved ones and wanting a closure, whether it's finding their loved one alive or whether it's finding them deceased. It's bringing a closure to their to that particular situation. And so learning how to walk with those that are hurting, I think, is important. So the first thing I'd like to look at is, I believe that one of the most important things in being prepared to help the hurting would be to have a healthy, vibrant relationship with God. Spend time in God's Word. God speaks to us through His Word, teaching us about His character and showing us how to live for Him. We need to read with an open heart and mind, giving God the chance to speak to us. Memorize Scripture. That way, when you're out ministering to the hurting or even in your own families and community, memorize Scripture. That way you have Scripture to share, to encourage and to bless others as the opportunity avails itself. Pray in everything. When you want to build a relationship with someone, you don't distance yourself, but you talk to them. You learn to know them. And the more you learn to know them, the more you understand their heart. Philippians 4, verse 6. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When we pray, we should include praise and thanksgiving for what God has done for us, what He has blessed us with. Ask God to free you from sin. I'm still on the aspect of a healthy, vibrant relationship with God. Ask God to free you from sin. Sin separates us from God. Search your heart. See what it is that is hindering you from a closer relationship with Him. We need to daily crucify ourselves, our flesh, and we can't do it on our own strength. We will fail if we don't avail ourselves to God's power. He can't help us if we distance ourselves from Him. Serve others. Jesus came to serve us, and we should do the same for others. When we serve others, we put their needs in front of our desires. Humbly serving others can also open our eyes to the things that God has done in my life. It's another form of gratitude. And there's many ways to serve others, and usually you don't have to look very far. There's many needs around us. Live in the Spirit. While doing all of these things that we mentioned, these things that help us to grow with God, living and inviting the Spirit into our lives, is ultimately one of the best things that you can do for yourself. Walking in accordance to the Spirit will help us create that intimacy with God. Setting our minds on things above this world and trusting that God will provide is how we can truly be followers of Jesus. Point number two for preparing ourselves to walk with the hurting, I believe that to truly recognize and understand those that are hurting, I need to be empty of myself and full of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. We're all familiar with the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 20 through to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can have as much of this as you want. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So I understand that there are organizations and individuals that reach out to help those that are hurting and suffering and may not necessarily live out God's teaching the way that we as Anabaptist people do. But many of them do have a moral code of ethics that they go by, and they have helped many hurting and suffering individuals. And so there's a place for that, and people have been effective in reaching out, maybe not so much in the spiritual sense, but in a physical sense, and given people hope maybe that they haven't had before. Point number three, preparing to walk with the hurting starts with those that I walk with the closest. In most of our situations, that's our family, our spouse, our children. Am I sensitive to the needs in my home? And am I willing to go out of my way for a bit to help my wife or my child with something they're struggling with? A helping hand or a listening ear can sometimes be all it takes to encourage them along. The importance of learning to walk with the hurting, with those closest to us, we're going to be a lot more effective when we have opportunity out and about to relate to the hurting. I think the account of the Good Samaritan, how he took time to stop and he helped a fellow traveler who was hurting beside the road. You know, that took some time, took some effort, some courage. He probably didn't know where the guys were that beat him up, and so it took some courage to stop and help that man. But he had a heart of compassion, and he took pity on him and helped him. Luke 16, verse 10. Says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Just pointing out that being faithful in the small things is important to be able to be effective in the larger areas of life, in relating to the hurting. In order to help someone who's hurting, do I have to experience or even understand completely what they're going through to be able to help them effectively? I think sometimes we tend to think that to have compassion for those who struggle, or for those that are hurting, we think we have to have gone through the same experience. And sometimes we tend to have compassion for those who struggle like we do, and then we downplay struggles that are foreign to us. So I can't understand why Johnny struggles with that. Why can't Johnny just lay it down and forgive and forget and move on? Why can't Johnny have victory over his hurts? It's sometimes helpful to have a similar experience, but just because you didn't doesn't mean that you can't walk alongside of someone. And together you can help gain an understanding, or at least find peace and rest in God's will for your life. If that were the case, I couldn't go up and be a comfort to my sister right now. I have not experienced the pain, the loss that she's experienced. But I believe we have the Word of God. We all have the Word of God. We have a hope in Christ, and those are the things that we can all together lean on and find comfort when we're hurting. Sometimes just your presence with a listening ear can ease the burden for someone. We want to give advice and encouragement, but there's nothing worse than being on the receiving end of poor advice. Words that we think are helpful, but ultimately are like a knife twist in the gut. While it's done with good intentions, to carefully analyze what we are sharing and how we are sharing it, what our motivation, what our heart is, I think is very important. To have a heart of God, there's nothing in it for me, but to express from the depths of our heart only what we believe God would want us to share. Another aspect, number four, is another aspect of preparing to walk with the hurting is that I need to learn to suffer well in my own sufferings. Am I bitter about my past? My past experiences? Or have I forgiven all who I feel have hurt me? If God gives you a pill, don't hold it in your mouth. Have you ever had a big, ugly pill that you need to swallow for a specific reason, but the thing tastes nasty, and you hold it in your mouth, and it goes to mush, and it's really disgusting? You maul it around. It's usually so nasty tasting, you want to spit it out. But just swallow it. God gave you that pill for a purpose. The quicker you swallow it, the quicker it can do its job. We read those verses in 2 Corinthians 1, and many of the points that I just shared will help us to cope with our own sufferings. How can I walk beside you and be much of a blessing to you if I'm still nursing my own wounds and my own hurts? I suppose it could be done if there was an attitude and a spirit that's right, but it's often not very effective. We're all familiar with the phrase or the statement of two birds of a feather flock together. We tend to, if we're both hurting, we tend to add fuel to each other's fires and not find healing in the things that we need to find healing and forgiveness in. Make sure we are dealing with our own sufferings properly. I need to first off be able to experience the greatness and goodness of God. Otherwise, my words of comfort will ring hollow. One thing that we can believe is that God does desire to relieve the suffering in us. In his earthly ministry, Jesus healed the sick, he healed the demonized, he comforted the grieving. So it is appropriate to turn to him, the one who holds the power to heal, and to ask him to remove our hurts. And as we walk beside hurting individuals, to be able to help them understand and accept this will be a tremendous blessing for them. In helping them understand that God's ways are so much higher than our ways, and he will work out his perfect plan. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And we need to choose by faith to believe that he will care for us, even if life looks unfair and cruel. Just some closing passages. I want to turn to John 16, verse 33. Words of Jesus here. John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Matthew 25. Verse 34. We're going to read verse 34 to the end of the chapter. Notice the attitude between, or the difference of an attitude between these two different accounts. Matthew 25, verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Just something about this account that stuck out to me in that. So while we read about the righteous and about the one that he cursed, but there's an attitude of the righteous man didn't understand really that he even did good things. So he did it out of a pure heart, out of a pure motive. I'm going to say humbly, not wanting recognition, but he did it because it was the right thing to do. The other man, we don't know how he went about doing all that, but it would seem like, you know, he thought he did all this and maybe even told people what he did very freely, wanting recognition and hoping that he could maybe buy his way into eternity. It doesn't say that. I'm assuming some of that. But there's a different attitude between those two individuals. And I guess it's a challenge for me as I go about life relating, having the opportunity to relate to those that are hurting, those that are broken, shattered, damaged, crushed, to be able to have my life in order so that I can truly be effective in bringing hope and comfort to those individuals. So this has been an inspiration for me as I had opportunity to look into that topic, and I hope and trust that can also be an inspiration to us as we go forward from here. God will bring situations into your life that you will have opportunity to minister to somebody that's hurting. That is life. So let's stand for prayer and